Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blessings of Christ on this beautiful Sunday, March the 14th. So we are always enjoy being together, even though some of us do bring problems to the call or needs for help for ourselves or our loved ones. We're here for you. And most of all, Yeshua is here for you to bring you into the body of Christ, where you will find peace and wholeness and healing. And the outward signs may not occur instantly, but the wholeness is established, and that gives you the opportunity for putting back into place the various broken pieces you're sensing in life, or to be here and express your gratitude for the fact that broken pieces have been brought back together in your life. I know I've been through quite a lot in the last month, and I don't think I could have done it without the blessings of Christ and the love of our community, my friends and family, and the support I've been given. So I just want to tell you, it does make a difference. And I want to thank all of you for your support and your patience with orders coming in, because I have, because of the lockdown and my various other conditions in life, I don't have a staff. And with what I'm going through, it's very hard for me to do the work. I do the best I can. And we're pretty well caught up, with the help of God, the grace of God and a little assistance from the angels. So we are also extremely grateful that our brother Tony, who is my co-pilot on this blessing call and on the prayer calls during the week, has had a wonderful recovery. And I think I'll let him tell you about it, because he's doing very, very well and has some therapy to go through, but the pieces are being put back together for him into a state of wholeness. And so he can tell you what he wants to. And I just want to give you my love and my heart. And I'm still in a lot of pain from my fall that happened just a little over a week ago. Thank goodness, thank God, it did not result in a broken hip, just a deep bone bruise that is extremely painful. And the worst part of it are the meds that I have to take to control the pain. I would much rather just not have those meds and let God take care of it. But he's giving me a little bit of a I think he's trying to slow me down, really. I think he's telling me, Glenda, this is a time you should be resting. You should be recovering. You should be taking your life into your heart for restoring and rebuilding your presence in this world, because the losing of a partner is a very, very big deal, and especially when it's a deeply loving, highly integrated partnership. It's a big deal, and it takes a lot to get through it. So I actually think that this fall was not intended to create any permanent harm or damage for me, but just to make sure I slowed down, which it has done a very good job of doing. So I'm going to turn the call over to Tony, and I will be here to respond to anything you want to say to me, but we're going to let Tony run the board because he's feeling better than I am. And Tony, thank you so much for being here. And I thank God for your healing and return to a state of physical repair and peace.
Thank you, Glenda. And thank God for the miracles that have been going on during these last couple of weeks. I'll tell everybody a little bit more about the situation. I had been ill and just kind of getting weaker over the last couple of months. It had really started to hit me right after the new year. And I didn't know what it was. I was seeing my naturopath, who's really a wonderful doctor, and he was doing some tests on me and trying to help me figure out what was going on, and it just wasn't really clear. But it was a problem with my digestion that was getting worse and worse. And so I was losing weight and just having a lot of pain, like just challenges. And then a couple of weeks ago, I started to get really itchy, and I didn't know what that was all about. And the day that we did Desmond's blessing call, which was about 2 weeks ago yesterday, my wife, Judy, looked at me and said, "My God, you look yellow." So at that point, I knew, okay, I need to go talk to the people at the hospital. So I went in, and they checked me, and they found that there was a blockage going on in my liver. And that blockage was being caused by a growth. There is a tumor in my pancreas. And, of course, this is really horrifying to get this news. It's very challenging. And so for most of the last 2 weeks, I've been dealing with tests and all kinds of inquiries and my own concerns and challenges related to these findings. But there are some extremely good bits of information and news that are really important to emphasize, and I want to share those with you right now. I didn't know this, and there was some miraculous things that happened just this week. So I'm going to briefly describe this because I think it's really, really important. Number one, my condition has been improving quite dramatically for the last 2 weeks, even though I've been dealing with all sorts of challenges with these diagnostic revelations. But my strength has improved. My overall state of being has dramatically improved. And I know that that is greatly due to the love and blessings of God's direct assistance, Jesus's attention and love. And there's some other things I have to tell you about, which I will in just a minute. But your prayers, I am certain the Christ blessing that was sent in my direction for this challenge, because when I went into the hospital, all I knew was I had all these problems. Had no idea what it was, and that's what I had told Glenda about. Well, anyway, I had to go in for a procedure on Thursday, and I was very weak. I was dehydrated. I've been having other challenges, but in a lot of pain. They'd put me on two antibiotics, and that was just plain complete, it was giving me all kinds of pain and difficulty. My stomach really hurt quite a bit. So bad, I had to make another trip to the hospital last weekend just to try to sort that out. Well, anyway, on Wednesday night before the procedure, I was supposed to fast, just a little bit of water. So I took some food and some supplements like in the early morning hours of Thursday. And for 8 hours before my procedure, which was scheduled to start around 11 o'clock, I wasn't supposed to eat or consume anything. So I got to the hospital. I was feeling very weak. I just finished the antibiotics, so I was kind of stressed out from that. Just really, really, just challenged. So I showed up as scheduled, and I was hoping that they'd be able to do the procedure. Well, it went so gracefully. But here's the thing I have to tell you about that happened Wednesday night, the night before, when I was feeling so kind of stressed out and weak. I felt the presence of the Blessed Mother. Forgive me, I just have to pause for a sec because of the power of it. It was very, very gentle and subtle. And I felt Mother Mary just simply put an umbrella, like a bubble, so subtle, of heavenly light and energy around me. It was so supportive and helpful. Well, I woke up, got some rest. I had to get up and do some medicine and take a little bit of water during the morning, which I did. I got to the hospital. I was feeling, you know, that energy with me, but still very weak. Well, when I went into that procedure, it went incredibly smoothly and gracefully. And when I came through it, they said that they were able to do everything they needed to do. It went extremely fast. And when I woke up, it's like my soul spoke to me at that moment. And it said, you could understand this in at least two ways. Number one, God's getting ready to call you home. But of course, you could also understand that God is giving you a radical transformation to rearrange the entire landscape of your life in order that your priorities may completely shift around and align with the realization of your deepest and truest purpose.
Wow.
That's awesome. And that, then I knew the real sense and direction of what is unfolding. There's going to be more, I'm sure, that I'll be able to share. But I just want to thank everybody for their love and prayers. And I want to thank Mother Mary and Jesus. And all of you. And you, Glenda, too. So thank you all so much.
Well, you're welcome from the bottom of our heart because we love you. And we don't want to do life without you. Not that we would, even if you went home, you'd still be with us. But
yeah,
I think you get the drift. But there's also something I want to put together between what you just said and what I said before that. I had the realization that I did not fall in order to hurt me. It wasn't some evil spirit that pushed me down. You know, it wasn't some accidental glitch in my consciousness that allowed me to have an irresponsible physical action. In other words, there was no harm or damage intended. But the fact is, from the time Larry passed, I just went into hyperaction, making sure everything could continue as it was. And I was not allowing the changes that needed to happen. I didn't want to live without him. And I knew that I wouldn't. He would just be on a different level. But B, I wanted to make sure that his absence did not cause any, operational, interruption that we needed to have continuance of in the world. And a lot of you know that I'm dealing with a lot of problems in the material world. So I just went straight into action and I hadn't stopped. I took time to grieve. I took time to mourn. I took time, obviously, always to be with all of you and to be on Desmond's memorial and to support. I was more interested in supporting other people who grieved for Larry, most especially his daughter. I was there for her, gathering all the things she needed, sending to her all the things she requested, logins and passwords and, you know, all the things that go along with the after-the-fact situation. And I wasn't even thinking of myself. Well, somebody put their foot in front of my ankle and made sure I went down until I started thinking about myself and until I would allow changes to happen that needed to happen in my life because not just for me and for the work I do, but also to allow Larry to go on and rearrange his life in a graceful way on a different plane. I wasn't allowing those changes to happen. And so somebody stepped in and made sure they happened. So the doctor said, he looked over my x-rays. He said, there's no fracture. And the prosthesis in your hip hasn't moved even a fraction of an inch. He said, you just got some bad bone bruises that will keep you off your feet for a while. So it took me a couple of days to realize the potency of that message. And that's where I am right now. So I have been delegating and delegating and delegating, and three of my best friends came down here to spend a few days with me and do the work that needed to be done so that I could rest. And so there's just more and more gratitude to pour out and more realizations for this dedicated, loving workaholic to take under her belt. So, Tony, thank you. And it seems like we're partners again in going through much of the same thing.
Mm.
Gee, we must have been born under similar stars.
Well, yeah, that's another thing I would love for us to discuss more at some point. That there's such a beautiful resonance with everybody who is drawn to this community. And yes. I want to mention just briefly what you were saying. I was listening to lesson one in Returning to the Faithful Heart, Restoring the Faithful Heart webinar that you did. And you were pointing out in there that there are some things, and a number of places I seem to remember lately you were saying it, about the relevance of what is going on. So the relevance of Love Without End, the relevance of the Lamb, the Lion to our time, and the relevance of everyone who is drawn to this community. The energy of this synergy of all of these beings together. There is a great and beautiful interactive blessing present with the collaborative presence of all of these beings together, all of you, everybody who's connected to this community. And I think that is probably now making itself even more recognizable because of the place where we're at and the things that are. So I'd love to hear more about anything that you observe about that, Glenda, but it seems obvious that that's a reality.
Oh, it is indeed. In fact, you know, I just want to say there are no perfect people. In heaven, yes. But once a person makes a contract to live in a world that is full of challenge and change, we're always stepping into a new edition of what's happening next. And it takes us a little while to get our sea legs, to get all the pieces put together, and to even correlate our divine purpose with our, shall we say, incarnate ways of implementing that purpose. They're part of the same package, but they're perceived in different ways. This is one of the reasons that I started the prayer calls during the week, because I wanted to give people an opportunity to step outside of their incarnate exploration of purpose and get back to just union with God, union with themselves, and reconnecting with their divine purpose. And one of the best ways to do that is actually through prayer. But I've also discovered, as Yeshua said, that when two or more are gathered together, he is there. This feeds back on exactly what you were saying, Tony, about the power of this community. When we come together, we confirm the presence of God that is in each one of us. Sometimes when we're on a lonely path, walking up a solitary mountain, we struggle with each step to the point that we begin to think that it's all about how do we do it. And we lose our sense of just stepping into God, because we can't, there's no one among us other than Yeshua who could say, I am the Father. we step back from that. And when we step back from that, we step into our weakness. But when there are two or more of us, then it's easy to see. I see the God in you, and you see the God in me, and then it begins to activate. And that's why it's so important to pray together, and so important to come and receive the blessings together.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we begin to see the God in each other, those imperfections fall away. They become insignificant. And we see they're just part of the earthly path, and they have no meaning whatsoever. One by one, I saw various little personalities. Well, I don't want to call them imperfections because I love them too much, but little imperfection, little personality quirks, shall we say, in Larry fall like little drops of water with a duck shaking. You know, a duck gets out of the lake and shakes itself off, and all the water drops go on you or the ground, and then that little duck walks off without a spot of water on it. Well, I saw that happening to Larry as he ascended, and I was kind of amused and seeing, oh my gosh, that silly thing that I used to fuss at Larry about, it had no significance at all to who he was. You know, and it's helped me to have less significance about some of the things of myself that I think, gee, I wish I would do that. I wish I could get over that. And really, I'll do the same thing Larry did when I step off of the earthly plane. We build up these things, and then we think if we could fix these little flaws, we would fix the problems we have. Not true. Not true, because these little flaws are not the problems. They're just spots we build up on the windshield, ducks, little bugs we build up on the grill of the car driving down the street, and they're not the problem. The problem is somewhere along the line we have disconnected with our divine purpose, and we're not implementing it on earth with grace. And so we're stopped to be reminded that, you know, you better get back in touch with who you really are. And it starts with love is who you are, but then it doesn't stop there. It goes on to find out what love looks like for you, and beginning to accept the fact that love looks differently to other people, and they have different ways of implementing their divine purpose. But as long as we're all moving towards the common goal of restoring the faithful heart, we will get into a place of peace together. One thing I realized after Larry passed is that webinar that I was inspired and led to deliver before Christmas was not entirely for all of you and for the world. Yeshua brought that to me because he knew what was coming, and he was getting me ready. But it does apply to each one of us. You know, all through the year of 2020, I could not find a time, a place, or a state of mind to receive an empowered inspiration extensive enough to comprise a webinar. That's not to say I wasn't led by grace or situational inspirations. I was, but none of them really hung together with the wholeness of what came to me in late October. And I knew what it was about, that we all needed to restore our faithful heart after this year of trouble and panic and fear. And I was being prepared for what would come next. And I think all the rest of us were too. So, that was one of the most timely webinars I have ever been given to present. And it's still and will be highly relevant for the next few years for everything we will be going through. I think a lot of people have been presenting online, and you can read on a lot of blogs that we are nearing the end of the pandemic because there are fewer cases than there are vaccines. More people are vaccinated, and I have variable thoughts about the vaccine. Sometimes I think no, and other times I think yes. There may be things about the vaccine that are not completely within the grace of God, shall we say. I don't want to be negative about it, but but let's say scientific rather than in the grace of God. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if it handles human fear, if it gets us back within the grace of God, then whatever dangers are within it will be just flushed away. They will be. So I'm not going to sit inside of the fear campaigns that some people are promoting about it. Yeah. And on the other hand, it may be a perfectly good thing. So all I can say for you is that right now there is more hope than fear. And because there is more hope than fear, we will get through it. And we will find the answers. And the answers are within the faithful heart. That's what we come to restore in the blessing and in our prayers together. And with regard to the prayer calls for the next few weeks, they are just an open community call because Tony and I both are on healing protocols that don't allow us to have scheduled commitments. Neither one of us know what we will be going through at any one day, at any one time within that day, and we don't want to bring our troubles to that call. And we know that by this time, that community is solid enough and secured enough within its love, its connection with God, that every member of that call can simply host it with their love and be there to welcome anyone else that just wants to come and pray with them. So just come and join on Tuesday evenings at 8:30 Central Daylight Time, equivalent to your daylight time, whatever that might be. You figure it out. So it will be 8:30 our Central Daylight Time. And just come and join the community. You might be surprised how beautifully everybody in that community joins for grace, for prayer, for love and assistance. So you're welcome. And Tony and I will be there when we can. And in the future, we will probably regroup in a different way. But we have all discovered the value of coming together in prayer. So we will put back in place something that serves that purpose for our community. But we're going to let it be revealed by Yeshua, by God. And in the meantime, we're just freewheeling by grace, moving together in prayer. Tony, do you want to say something else about that?
Thanking everybody who participates in those prayer calls, whether they do it just by energetically connecting or being there on those calls. Thank you. Thank you to everybody. I'm confident that those who want to continue to participate and come together and do the prayers, that's a beautiful thing. And thank you for your dedication to that. I think that's all I would say about it.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to turn it over to you, Tony, to bring people on the board and they get all ready for our blessing today.
Okay. All right. So let me open the line for Elizabeth, who's first in line here. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Tony and Glenda. I would just like to request a blessing for my friend Jana Amon, who is going in for hip replacement surgery tomorrow. it's the second time they've had to redo it, so it's a bit serious. So if we could put her on the call, that all the angels be around her, and also a blessing for my sister Virginia, who's got to make a serious decision and just needs grace and peace of mind and to be led to the right decision with a calm heart and a calm presence. And also for both you, Tony, and Glenda, to blessings for you both for your continued healing with everything that you're going through right now. Our hearts and our love are with you. Just what you explained that happened to you with Mother Mary, you had me immediately in tears. It was just so beautiful. Everything you need for both of your lives to move forward and however that manifests in the grace of God. Thank you both so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. Okie dokie. That's a beautiful prayer, and thank you so much. So, let's see. We've got Jerome. Hey there, Jerome.
Well, thank you all for everything of God's light and Yeshua ben Yosef. And I want prayers for my family, especially Elaine and Jerry and Tom and Joan and Stella. And but anyway, I know we're all connected with the universe. Last fall, I had an occasion where I left my body in the earth. I went out into the universe in front of 8 stars. I went in there. And words can't tell you what I felt with God and Spirit. So we're all together with this, and blessings on everything you're doing, and blessings on everything now with Glenda and everybody else. So the universe is together with us again right now, and the Spirit of God and the universe has always been there, and we're going to see more of that together with our country, with the vaccine, with everything in the earth. So light and love, peace and joy for God and Holy Spirit, and for the universe of all connection in light, compassion, love, peace and joy. Thank you all, and bless you, bless you, bless you.
Oh, bless you too, Jerome.
Yeah, thank you again.
Jerome, thank you so much for reiterating your experience with those stars.
Yeah.
Because one thing I've learned being a star person just like you is that those revelations are living, eternal experiences, and they continue to grow and reveal. I'm sure you've noticed that. And so you sharing that with us and kind of mentioning it, bringing it again, really, it resonates the original blessing, and then it brings through more of the energy. It brings through more of that beautiful connection. So I just can't express my own joy at hearing you share that. Thank you so much.
Joy with you too.
thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. God bless you.
God bless.
All right. And all right, so now let's see. I had the board just updated. Hang on one sec. Okie dokie. We have Eva. Hi, Eva.
Hi. Yes, this is Eva. So good to hear both of you, Tony and Glenda, talking about your experiences, because it always helps all of us. So sorry that sometimes life has to be so painful, but I was thinking, Glenda, you know, you can stop trying to be Superwoman, and then, you know, you have to now, of course, but I was reminded of how many times you were telling us that sometimes we just need to learn to receive, and I guess that's, you know, what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
I also want to ask.
Learn your own lesson.
Yeah, and sometimes they're tough, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, they are.
But we have this wonderful power, which is just so great to, you know, we don't have to go it alone, which is very helpful. I would like to ask for a blessing for my my oldest sister. My niece, her daughter, had texted us saying that she wasn't getting out of bed for the last couple of days or eating. She's been my blessings for Carol and Guan. Also, there have been her sole caretakers for several years now. She's been in dementia, and it's been really tough on them. But I'm so thankful that they're willing to care for her in the way that they do. But I've been thinking and praying for her for a while, thinking that possibly it's her time to transition. I don't know for sure, but there's a better place for her, I'm sure, and possibly that can happen in the near future. She's 92 and hasn't been really. We were out there visiting last summer, and she didn't know me or my daughters and anymore. So in that kind of a life, it's kind of nicer to pass on to some better place. So blessings for Katie, my sister, Carol and Guan, who take care of her, and her daughter and son-in-law, too, who are also, you know, in this together. So thank you very much for that help, and they will appreciate it. Oh, did my phone go off?
No, you're right there. Hi.
Oh, sometimes my phone goes off, and we can't seem to get it fixed with Comcast, so I thought maybe. I'm never sure.
But thank you so much, Eva. And yes, you know, you brought up a very important point, and that is that our blessings are expanded as we share them with others. And that's one of the reasons we take the time to hear you. Not just so you can request a blessing, but in sharing them, other people are included in the blessing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize some things you can ask a blessing for. They think, oh, well, I never thought to ask for help on that. I just thought that was something I had to deal with.
Yeah.
You know? And you brought up one other important thing that's extremely relevant in my life right now, but it's going to be relevant in everyone's life. And that is the realization that there's no such thing as the end of life. There are just ends of chapters in life.
Yes.
And when the chapter is ready to be signed off and the book closed, we just need to offer the love and the permission. You know, there was a friend of mine that was just hanging on, and I told his wife, it might be a good thing just to give your husband permission to leave. Tell him that you've taken care of everything, you're going to miss him, you will love him forever, but it's okay. You need to take care of yourself, and you will be happier somewhere else. She did. The next day he passed, he made his transition. So this is something that, this is a state of knowledge and awareness that we all need to learn about. Sometimes we learn through losing the ones we love, but it's good that we learn about it before we're the one needing to make that decision.
Yeah, I felt that very much with Charlie after he passed. It was just incredible. The feeling of one night when I couldn't sleep and I got up and journaled and wrote about him and about what was going on, and it was just like I called my little writing A Life Complete, and I just felt like it was just everything about his life, like you were saying with Larry, he shook off all the stuff that was not valuable or positive. And it was just, Charlie, it was like everything was exactly the way it was supposed to be. I just felt like it was perfect. And definitely, you know, through life, everything didn't feel so perfect. And especially with him getting a stroke and not being able to talk and all of that. but it just felt so perfect and the way it was supposed to be for both of us. And then that was all gone, and everything was good. And that was just so amazing to me because death was something through the years when I was, from the time I was little, that I didn't want to deal with. So that experience was very helpful for me.
Yeah. Nobody wants to deal with it. even in small ways, we see a wrinkle on our face, and instead of viewing it as a badge of character, it's actually a landmark on the road toward death, and that's what cares about wrinkles. Even the littlest thing, we're all pushing it back. And, you know, the chapters of our life do come to an end, but life never ends. Never. And I think that's one of the most valuable contributions to the book Love Without End, because love doesn't end either. And the entirety of the universe and its creation has been sustained by God's love.
Well, that's reminding me of something in Love Without End, which when you had asked him, I believe, about reincarnation and other lives, and Jesus said, you only have one life, but it's very, very long.
That's right, with many chapters.
you just experience it in many different dimensions and other places, and that just makes life seem so different and beautiful.
It does.
For us and those that have passed on that we've lost from this earth.
Yeah, and saying goodbye.
Not really lost.
Saying goodbye is always hard for many reasons. But, you know, once you're through it, then joy can return.
Right.
Well, and that teaching also unequivocally confirms the importance and the reality of our individuality. What Jesus says it to me. So, yeah, that's so powerful. Thank you, Eva.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you all for being here. All right. I see Mara on the line. Hey, Mara.
Hi, Tony and Glenda. I am so thrilled to hear of these events of high hope in your life. And I can't help but mention to you, although my experience was not as dramatic, let's put it that way. I mean, that you went through so much. I'm not going through that much of a challenge, just some challenges. But the thing that I always am so fascinated with is the synchronicity of the way things happen. And it was a week ago that I started thinking about our Blessed Mother and connecting her with the earth. And I thought, I haven't been paying very much attention to her. And so I did start paying attention and brought in the color of, which is also, I understand, from others, the color of St. Michael the Archangel. But one of the blues, emerald, I think, emerald blue. Anyway, I did something I never thought I'd do, which is to go and buy a rosary in that color. And I didn't quite know how to approach her, but I've just been holding the rosary in my hand and focusing on the color and asking to bring it into my life. And Tony, your experience with her affected me like, I think it was Elizabeth that said it brought tears to her eyes.
Yeah.
And the same with you, Glenda. Everything you talked about today. I just want to thank you for all you do. And I love you very much. And I love everybody on this call, whether they call for their challenges or if they call for Thanksgiving or they're receiving these things. They're so, I think of them so often, the ones that receive, and kind of keeps the body going. Anyway, I don't know how to say it any different, except that I love all of you.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. We love you.
Thank
too.
You. Yeah. I love you, Mara. Thank you.
Oh, and you can keep me in your prayers. On Thursday, I'm having, which is supposed to be a pretty simple surgery. I'm having surgery for some parathyroid glands that are not in balance. And I know that my doctor is a fine man and that I'll be well cared for. My daughter's coming to be with me, so I'm very, very grateful for that. So, thank you.
You're welcome. Have you on the list, and I'll definitely be keeping you in mind as well.
Thank you so much.
You bet. All right. We do have a few more callers with us on the line right now. We've got Stephen here. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, beautiful community. I just wanted to quickly share that, everything is connected in the sense that, we're talking about the Blessed Mother and literally, probably a half hour before this call started, I received the book, The Blessed Mother's Blue Rose of the Healing Heart in the mail. And I've been looking forward to reading this book for a long time. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that beautiful synchronicity that Mother Mary's energy is really flowing strongly today, at least for me. So thank you. And, thank you for sharing that. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you. Yeah, it was just beautiful, beautiful synchronicity. Okay, okay. Let's see. We have... Sarah? Hi, Sarah.
Aloha, Glenda and Tony and this beloved community. Thank you so much for your service and for being leaders and teachers. Thank you, Holy Mother Mary. And I just want to ask a blessing. I'm about to take a trip back to Massachusetts to see my mom and dad, and I'm just so blessed to be able to do that. So just a blessing for a safe passage and a blessing for all travelers, and a blessing for all just the reunions and the reunifications for people that have been apart. Special blessing I thought about and just really felt yesterday for people that are in prison and jails and how they haven't been able to see their loved ones and loved ones haven't been able to see them. So just prayer for all who've been missing so much, and I love you all.
Thank you, Sarah. Love you, too.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Glenda. All right. I think we've got just two more callers for on the line right now. We've got Nancy. Hey, Nancy.
Hello. This is Nancy in Florida. And I just wanted to thank you, Tony, and Glenda, and the whole community, as we all are recognizing this beautiful energy and compassion from Holy Mother Mary. And if we stop and think a moment, it just occurred to me that we actually are seeing it within our national life, that beautiful compassion coming in, and more people recognizing that caring for one another is a major aspect of why we are here. And this energy from Mother Mary is just beginning to permeate more and more hearts in our country. And we see it in the shift in the energy that's occurring now as we try and work together to deal with the problems that we're facing. So it is, I just feel so grateful for that energy. And in fact, I wanted to just mention, because I was smiling as everybody was talking about Mother Mary experiences, but I too am reading something, messages from Mother Mary. So it's all of us are waking up to that beautiful energy, that beautiful compassion as well. So I just thank everybody for talking about it. And it's so uplifting and brings us that such powerful wave of hope that can carry us through everything we need to face. So just thank you, God.
Yeah. Thank you, Nancy, for everything.
Thank you, Glenda.
Thank you, Nancy. And thank you for that beautiful synchronicity that you mentioned with messages from Mother Mary.
Yeah.
We have two more on the line right now. We have Sandy. Hi there, Sandy.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for your blessings and your help. And I would like some help with really having a time with taking on so much energy, almost like there's some parts of me that feel responsible for humanity, for the well-being of everyone around me, and there's just been this absolutely unbearable sense of just pain and nervous system overload. And it's like a habit I've been doing for a long time, and I just can't seem to turn it around so that my life is not so unbearable. And so I would like to ask for some help with that.
So is that like you're feeling like your connection to our collective energy is something that's providing an overload for you? Am I understanding that right?
Yeah. It's like a part of me just starts pulling in the energy around me. It could even be where I'm at. If I'm at a restaurant, it will, just start pulling in the pain of the people around me. It will do it on a bigger level with humanity. And it's almost like my emotional body and my mind has kind of gone rogue and just kind of does it automatically. It's insane. And it's really come to a point where I feel a little desperate because I feel like I just don't want to live like this anymore.
Yeah.
And so I've been working on it and praying on it. And yet there's this ultra, ultra sensitive system that is just making it unbearable to be here right now. So
He loves some help with that.
Yeah, indeed. I a few things are coming to me, but I want to invite Glenda's feelings. Glenda, any feelings?
Oh yes, I can most definitely relate to that, and I think you can imagine that through the years being called by Yeshua to be here for humanity, people have piled their hurt on me, just as surely as they would on him. The only difference is he can handle them. and I can't. And they do pile their hurts on Mother Mary, but she can handle them with her grace, her love, her tremendous compassion. So my greatest connection to her is I learned from her. I saw that she took always the maternal viewpoint on people bringing their sorrows and their pains and fears to her, instead of being like a citizen hurting with them, saying, oh my gosh, yes, this is horrible, horrible, what do we do about it? You know, you could go that way, and then it'll just pile on you like a mountain, and you can't get out from under it. She took instead the viewpoint of a mother who would look at her children, and instead of focusing on what hurts, she would focus upon their strengths and what they can do about it. She would focus on trying to make them happy. In addition to putting a bandage on their knee, she would help them laugh about it. Take the viewpoint of a mother and be there as if whatever you're being shown is something you're going to take a larger perspective on. You cannot be a sidekick to pain without getting kicked in the sides. Just remember that. Don't be a sidekick to pain. Don't do it. Because you can't deal with someone else's pain. You are not given that as part of your ability, talent, and purpose on this earth. Unless perhaps you were called into a specialty profession, such as being a doctor or a psychologist or a counselor or some other purpose in this world that gives you both the skill and the protection to be in that state of service. You can't take it on, and you've got to make that decision. There was a time after it was about 2 years after I painted The Lamb and the Lion. I'll give you just a little bit of background. People were coming from all over the world to see that painting. We had some people come from Czechoslovakia who arrived in the night with a family of five ringing our doorbell. Okay? It was like my home had become Medjugorje. Mm. And the drain on my energy was just about to keep me in a constant state of I'm in my bed. The only thing that kept me from wanting to kill myself and go somewhere else is Yeshua was always there. He was there doing the work, and he was there lifting me out of it, and I could see that it was for a great purpose. But Brian, who was my husband at that time, couldn't take it, and he said, this is it. I had it. The painting is going to a church. It's got to have a church home where people can come day and night, bring their prayers and their hurts, because we cannot deal with this. This is more than we were equipped to deal. God didn't equip us with this, okay? And he made a firm decision. And once he made that decision, everything moved into place it only took about 6 weeks to find the home. And that home for the church was, that painting dominates the church, and it's open 24/7 for people to come and pray, and so many people have come from around the world, and they've had amazing miracles from that painting and from him. Because we decided that they're coming for him, and we don't have to be here. We don't have to take in their pain. And it's a decision you have to make of what you will, and do not feel guilty about it, because you didn't cause their problem. And you were not given the skills to resolve their problems. And so the best thing you can do for anyone is to help them find their joy. Help them find their strength. Help them find their faith. And help them find, possibly, if you know, somebody who really truly can help with their problem. But the last thing you want to do is to feel like you caused it, or feel guilty, or that you have to run. But you can make a decision on your own behalf that you came here to be in the joyful service of God. And that is what you will do. You will be in the joyful service. You can pray for people. You can lay hands on people. You can send them letters of hope and cheer. But you do not have to synchronize with their pain. You're not called for that.
Yes, that's, and that is, I totally hear you. And that's,
and you can draw a hard line on it. This is something you can, and I'll give you something very, very relevant that I don't know if it's relevant for your life, but for many people who've been parents. You can draw a hard line even on your kids. You're not going to synchronize with their tantrums. You know, if you want to throw a tantrum, go in your room. Don't bring it to me. Bring me your solutions. You bring me a conversation that we can have that's constructive. You can do that with your kids. You can do that with any member of your family. So when you get this right down to practical, you know you didn't cause your child's tantrum. That's their emotional reaction to what's going on in their life. And you'll be there with them to help them come to a solution in their life, but you're not part of that tantrum. Go in your room till you get it settled down, then come and talk to me. You know, that's a hard line, but you have to do that to be a good parent. You have to. You have to do that to be a good citizen. And I really believe we could have more humanitarian, more benevolent penal systems that deal with people that are solving or trying to solve their problems destructively. I think we could do a much better job than we do, but still, we have to draw a hard line on it. There comes to a point where somebody cannot keep throwing rocks into windows and stealing merchandise. It's not allowable. We've got to restrain that ability. Then we're going to talk to you. We're going to work with you on how we can get help you have a better life. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the microcosm that relates to the macrocosm. And, just walk yourself through how you would deal with it in the microcosm of a friend, a mate, a child, a neighbor, anyone that's out of control. How would you deal with these people who are suffering? Let me give you a secret. They're out of control because nobody has to suffer. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is not inevitable. And I have to remind myself every day since losing Larry and since my fall, yes, there's pain, but I don't have to suffer. Okay?
Yeah.
And those people don't have to suffer either. There is pain. There will be loss in the world. There will be challenge. That's what the world is. It will be there. And this was the great conclusion to the life of Buddha. And he taught the world. There is pain. You will have to deal with it. You do not have to suffer. That's a choice. But a lot of people choose suffering because they think that if they suffer, that will elicit help and sympathy from other people. And it's not a solution. It's the worst thing they could do for their life. and they have to be educated that suffering will not get you anywhere. And I'm not going there with you.
Well, we need to tell that to the collective, right?
Well, you can, actually. You can. By being who you are, the love that you are, loving
yeah.
those who are brought to you to help, teaching them love, being joyful in their presence, and giving them meaningful and helpful advice. And you just simply disconnect from the collective. You do not have to listen to the media. The media right now is completely out of control.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
Oh,
completely.
Yeah. I don't.
And the collective dramas are completely out of control.
Yeah.
You know, they're into fighting, and there is no intelligence in fighting. There is none. We've got to get beyond the fight. And that's one of the reasons Yeshua told you and me and everybody to love your enemy. Because you've got to stop the fighting in order to find the answers. There's no intelligence, no rationality in fighting.
We've got a ways to go.
Oh, we sure do. But that's okay. Just acknowledge it. And don't
yeah.
let it become your problem.
Yeah.
And I will pray that you gain the joy and the strength within yourself to say, that's not my problem.
Thank you.
I once asked Yeshua what I should do about the world. And he said, whatever God brings to you. And I said, how will I know what God brings to me? And he said, what's in front of your face? The ones he brings to you is what you do next. And then what he brings to you is what you do next. So you're not equipped to handle the collective. You're not.
No, clearly.
I'm not either.
Yeah. It's a strange,
I would say
yeah.
really, really only, there's only three classes of people who are equipped to handle the collective. One would be the entire community of ascended beings, which would include our loved ones who've gone to heaven, the angels, the saints, Yeshua, Buddha, whoever you want to, all of the ascended beings would represent one body of people who can handle the collective, all right? The other would be the specialized called people who have heard the calling, gained the training, and been delegated the authority to be responsible, okay? And third class would be leaders that we have recognized as being positive forces in the world. And other than that, the rest of us handle the world one-on-one. So you just put too much over your head and...
Way too much.
Yeah, take the hat off.
Yeah, yeah. It's way too much. It was way too much at a feeling level is the issue. It's like the feeling so deeply, you know, what's going on in the unconscious levels and that sort of thing. And it's learning to say when that appears, to say no.
Well, you know, the thing is, compassion is a higher frequency of love. It's not a broader expansion of fear, conflict, doubt, and pain. That's not what compassion is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let your feeling be compassion. And I would say Mother Mary might be a great teacher for you because she seems to have been the one who mastered compassion on the female side, on par with Yeshua.
Hmm. Yeah,
Mother Mary, Yeah, Mother Mary is a great teacher for compassion. And you might even want to study the life of Mother Teresa. She was really a paragon of compassion in this world. And she knew where to draw the line on people on the streets in India, people dying and starving. She would bring them in and feed them and give them an opportunity to either serve or work. And if they wouldn't, she would put them back on the street because there were so many, there were only so many people she could help. The same with the dying. She had this great love of giving someone who was dying clean sheets to die on. If they didn't die in 3 days, they were back on the street. She knew the difference between compassion and, I don't know what the word would be synchronicity with pain. That's not compassion.
Yeah, that's the key for me to be able to do that and not get infected, you know, by the pain.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Glenda.
You're welcome. I hope it helped. And Tony, I think we need to start the lesson.
Yeah. All right. We do have Stormy on there. Do you want to have Stormy give us his
Okay, Stormy. Yeah,
Stormy.
You're good at giving a great benediction.
Yes.
Two good blessings for the last call and for Mara. For the last call, if you are not of me, pass through me. If you are of me, I commit you to my original source. And for Mara, by request, I ask that an angel of grace bless and give blessings to Matthew. And give blessings to all of us from an angel of grace as we each go through life and love and experience each other and just live. Just live.
Thank you, Stormy.
Stormy. Thank you, Stormy.
Okay, we're the board's clear, Glenda.
Okay. Well, everyone, let's get ready for our blessing. And blessing givers, join me, standing, and those who come to receive a blessing, get in your very most comfortable position. Only one restriction, no arms and legs crossed, because we're going to be pulling energy from the earth to heaven and from heaven to earth, and it needs to flow in parallel lines. If you need to have your feet or head covered, please do it with a natural fiber so that you don't scramble or add any form of interference to this energy with a synthetic product. There are lots of fibers that work very well. Cotton, wool, silk, linen. Just choose a good one and do it with that. So otherwise, it's just entirely up to you what you feel as comfort and rest and peace. Where you would like to be is your choice. Just be there. Take a deep breath. Feel it as love coming in. Hold it for a few seconds. And then release it slowly as you're giving of love back to the world. And another in-breath of love. Another out-breath giving back to the world. In-breath and back and in. I will say my welcome to Yeshua, who's already here, of course, but we want to express our gratitude to him and our calling to him, because he said to us, ask and you shall receive. So I'm going to ask for all of us. And after my prayer is finished, while the blessing givers conduct the energy, then you, quietly or in your own way, ask for that which you desire. Our beloved Yeshua, we thank you for being with us always and being available to be our answer, our guide, our provider, and the one who understands us always and lifts us to a higher plane, which we all need to be aspiring to, step by step, as we are allowed and given the strength to do. You have told us to ask, and we shall receive. Sometimes we ask in many ways without even knowing that we have. And you heard us. We thank you for listening with an open heart for us all. And we think back to your last moment on the cross when you gave us a great illustration of compassion and the difference between compassion and synchronization with pain. The man on a cross beside you looked over at you and he said, I know who you are. He gave you compassion for your suffering by simply knowing who you are. And rather than synchronizing with his pain, what you said to him was, and you shall be with me this day in paradise. You lifted him up. Thank you for that lesson, because this is what we all need to understand. We all need to understand. In a world of trouble, is that lifting up is the answer. As you taught me once for a webinar that I gave, and your words were so strong, the only way out is up. And yes, we need to remember that and give that answer to everyone. We came to this world from paradise. We came here with a divine purpose, an appointment. And inside the conflicts of earth, we've forgotten about that divine appointment. But that divine appointment is rediscovered by reaching up. Reaching up to you, reaching up to our Father, reaching up to the angels and to the Blessed Mother. Reaching up is the way out. Give us the strength to stand in the midst of crisis and reach up and teach others to reach up. We ask that you be with those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who are suffering for any number of reasons. Help them to reach up. For therein is the solution. Therein is the gift. Therein is the hand of God. Just simply reach up. And we find our help. Thank you for giving us that deep understanding and that eternal answer to simply reach up. We ask that you be with those who don't know to do this, that the ones who stand beside them can reach outward and give them a hand, that we may love one another as ourselves. And then with our other hand, we reach up to God. We've been given two hands for that reason. One to reach out, to give, to help and support, and one other hand to reach up for salvation, security, and restored purpose within the faithful heart. And now in that spirit, we ask for your blessing upon those who've congregated in your name, and for everyone we touch in the coming days, and for everyone in our family of humanity, that our reach out may touch everyone around us, and our reach up may pull us all up a little higher. We ask these things in your blessed name, by the grace of our Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Be a blank slate upon which the will of God can be written. The blessings of Christ can be written. The love of the Holy Spirit can be written. Let it be there for you to inform you about pathways to walk on, solutions to find, and inspirations to live. I look forward to being with you again next week. And we bless you eternally. Again, amen.